Thankful to be able to be here this evening, and even in the midst of the rain, which is something that normally puts me to sleep, so I hope it does not do that to you this evening. We're going to be studying from the book of Psalms. Psalm 1 is what we'll be looking at this evening, Psalm 1. And we'll be looking at the book of praises, as you could term the book. I would like to do some preaching through the book of Psalms, and so we'll be looking at that from time to time. And the first one that he has here in Psalm 1, the psalmist writes about the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked. And he tells about the two lifestyles. And he says in Psalm 1, in verse 1 here, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and all that he does he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." I believe here that the psalmist is kind of opening up with the question of how can a man be happy in an environment of unhappiness. We often talk about blessed is this person and blessed is that person. You can look to the Beatitudes and you can see that Jesus spoke about those who were blessed, and that is those who are happy. It is those who are the peacemakers. It is those who humble themselves. They're poor in spirit. It is those who are able to overcome or overcome persecutions, and those who are able to mourn for their sins. And because they mourn for their sins, because they have that godly sorrow in their life, they're willing to deal with their sins appropriately and serve a life of righteousness. But the psalmist here tells us, blessed is the man, that is, happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. What he opens up with is, happy is the man who does no evil. He does not do unrighteousness. In fact, he does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Look with me to Proverbs for a moment. We can see some ungodly counsel in the book of Proverbs. Solomon wrote this. It's a book of wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 1, notice with me Proverbs chapter 1 and in verse 10. He says, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, 'Come with us, let us lie in wait for blood, let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, let us swallow them alive.'" That Sheol means grave. "And whole, like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all precious goods. We shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot among us. We will all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood, for in vain it is a net spread in the sight of any bird. But these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set ambush for their own lives. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors." And so the very first thing that David here tells us is, blessed the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. And quite often, those who are trying to walk worthy of the Lord, as we talked about this morning, what they're trying to do is apply God's wisdom or godly counsel to their life and apply it to every situation of their life. And yet there are some who want to ignore God's counsel. There are some who want to stand opposed to it at every turn. And they are those who walk in the path or in the way of sinners. They're quick to want to do things that are sinful, and those things that corrupt good morals. The Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians 15 that bad company corrupts good morals. And what we find here is the psalmist says, blessed or happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. He is one that's not going to have that false sense of peace or happiness or comfort that so many people in the world today believe that walking against God's will bring them, or living ungodly lives will bring them. He also says, not only is the blessed man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, but stands in the path of sinners. Now, what this means here is to stand in the pathway of sinners is not to share in or not to take part or approve of their sin. For instance, in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 22, we don't need to share in sins, Paul told Timothy. In Ephesians chapter 5, we are to expose sin. We're not to practice works of righteousness. And yet those who are listening to ungodly counsel, they begin to stand in the pathway of sinners. And they begin to be around those who are focused on the works of the flesh. You know, that Galatians chapter 5 about sexual immorality and all those other works of the flesh that he names there, drunkenness and anger. And all of these things are done by people who are sinners and who glorify in those things. They've listened to ungodly counsel and they begin to adopt that in their life. And what they think is they find happiness in this self-gratification, and they find happiness in this self-indulgence of all these fleshly things. And yet Psalmist says here, blessed is the man, is not the man who is a part of this group, but he does not even stand in the way or the pathway of sinners. He has no part in that whatsoever. Because what you find is those who are standing in the pathway of sinners, they are against godly counsel. They are against any form of religion. They're against any form of obedience to God. In fact, those who are the path of sinners, they find God's counsel to be an obstacle to their well-being, as they believe. And so he says, happiness is not found in the counsel of the wicked, it's not found in the way of sinners, nor is it found at the seat of the scornful or the scoffers. Here he says, in the seat of the scoffers, the ESV says. You see, there's a progression here. What you find is you have those who are walking and giving ungodly counsel, you have those who are practicing this ungodliness, but then you also, what it does is it leads to those who sit around and they laugh and they blaspheme and they ridicule our God and our Creator and His ways. And so what you find then is the happy man, is the blessed man, is the one who does not find company. He stays away from these. He avoids these kinds of people at all cost because of the fact that his good morals can be corrupted. He's not going to associate with those who determine to set their path to evil and who determine to live however they want to live. Because that is how it's going to happen. If that's the lifestyle that we're going to have, if we begin to accept ungodly counsel, if we begin to walk around and associate with them, we're eventually going to become to the point where we sit with them, we associate with them in the sense of we're blaspheming God. And we are scoffing at His godly counsel, His ways, His will. And so what we find then is a progression of sin if we begin to take this lifestyle. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 13, Paul said, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You may have heard this before. I've said it a couple of times, I believe. Sin takes you further than you would want to go, keeps you longer than you would want to stay, and costs you more than would you want to pay. And so what we find is, happy is the man who has no association with this whatsoever. He's not focused on the temporary, fleeting sin and pleasures of this world. Instead, he is focused on something else. And that's what the psalmist is going to get into. He says in verse 2, blessed is the man, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. You see, blessed is the man who practices righteousness. He's not a man who's walking in the counsel of the wicked. Instead, he is delighting in the law of the Lord. Look with me to Psalm 40 for a moment. In Psalm 40, and you'll find this throughout the book of Psalms, the different authors, and David is not the only author of Psalms, there's multiple authors, but they give praise and they give glory to God. And they give
not only to him, but also to his law, to his word. They respect his word, and they appreciate his word, and they find so many different blessings that are in his law. He says in Psalm 40 and in verse 8, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. And you'll find that the psalmist often talks about how they internalized the law. They let it dwell in their heart. They would meditate on it because of the fact that they delighted in the law. They never found God's law to be a burden to them. And yet, what we find is those who want to walk contrary to God's law, that's a burden to them. That's an obstacle to them. And what we find, though, instead is, Here is a man who is not associating with sin, but he is associating with godliness. He is associating his life with God's law, which is pure and righteous and teaches those things that are pure and righteous. And he says, but he delights in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is meditating. He's in deep thought. He's reflecting on the law. He's considering its ways. He's considering its beauty. He wants to make sure that as he studies and as he reads the law of God, that he is implementing those things in his life. He considers and ponders of how he can deal with different situations in his life, of how God would call him to deal with those situations, because God deals with those things in his law. And so he delights in it because it answers questions for him. The person who is meditating, he sees how God's law reveals his sins. He sees how God's law reveals a plan of salvation to him, how he can deal with these sins. He sees how God's law helps him to overcome sin, helps him to cure depression, helps him to overcome this world and to be strong and mighty when it comes to whatever he's facing in this life. And so he's meditating on these things day and night. He's internalized the word. He's made sure that he's thinking about the word in the sense of where he can go throughout the day, and he may not have the Bible in his hand, but he has the Bible in his heart. It's written on his heart. And you'll find different passages within Scripture where God talks about how the word is written on our hearts. How is that? It's because we're studying and meditating on God's word, and we find delight in it. You see, the righteous one, the righteous man, the happy man, he is focused. God's word is the center of his life. Whereas in contrast, in verse 1, those who are listening to godly counsel and they're standing in the way of sinners and sitting in the seat of scoffers, they're not meditating on God's law. They're meditating on what pleases them. What can they do to gratify self? And yet, if we study the law, what we find is the law is going to judge us one day. And we meditate on that. And we let that rule our life. That we have a Lord and Savior that who died on the cross for our sins. And delight in that. And delight in the blessings that come from that, that the law teaches us about. But we have to understand, it's not a matter of just reading the law. It's not a matter of just studying it and meditating, but I've got to apply it to my life as well. And the person who delights in the law of the Lord is because he is applying it to his life. A couple things we can study on and meditate on in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Paul says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. These are the things that Paul wants us to meditate on. Are we doing that? Are we thinking about these things throughout the day? Do we read and study either in the first thing in the morning and then meditate throughout those things, throughout the day? Do we take time out of our busy schedule, maybe at lunch break or if we have breaks throughout the day? Or do we study at night so we can have something to meditate on, so we can have something to think upon as we are going about our lives? You see, the blessed man, he delights in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And here's a result. Here's what's going to happen to the man who does that. Well, his faith is firmly established. Notice that. Verse 3, he says he is like a tree. And we know what a tree is. A tree is firmly established. It's very hard to move a tree. It's positioned, especially a tree that is nourished, a tree that gets the proper nourishments from the soil and from the water and from the sun and everything else that God created to provide for the tree. We find that a tree that is planted by the streams of water, notice that it yields fruit in its season and its leaf does not wither. Now what he's talking about here is the spiritual person who is strong in all things. Why? Because he delights in the law of the Lord and he meditates day and night. And so he is like a tree. He cannot be moved. When temptation comes along, he's not going to give into it. Why? Because he has the word of God on his heart and in his mind. And he as Jesus did when dealing with temptations, he dealt with those temptations through scripture. We can do the same thing if we're meditating on the law day and night, if we're delighting in the law. But we can stand strong when the devil comes. We can stand strong when temptation comes. We can stand strong when somebody wants us to walk in their ungodly counsel, or if they want us to stand in the way of sinners, or if they want us to sit in the seat of scoffers. We can stay strong because we are like a tree that is planted by the waters. It's being nourished with the scriptures and with God's word. And we find then, because we're nourished, that it yields fruit in its season and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, that's the person who delights in the law of the Lord and that meditates day and night. In all that he does, he prospers. Look with me to Colossians chapter 2 for a moment. Colossians chapter 2. And in Colossians chapter 2, notice what he says here. Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 6. Therefore, as you received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And so what we find is, just as we were taught from the very beginning, the gospel that we heard, the gospel that saved our souls, the gospel that helps us to overcome sin, he says he wants us to be rooted and built up in him, that is Christ, and established in the faith. That's only going to happen, brethren, if we are meditating day and night. That's what the psalmist's point is. Turn back with me to Psalm 1. That's the point he's making there. And he's contrasting that with the one who is walking ungodly, who is going to perish, as he's going to tell us here. But notice that he says he is like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields fruit in seasons. We know that a tree that is not nourished is not going to bear good fruit. Nor is a tree in the spiritual sense, if it is not bringing in good things, it's not going to be able to bear good fruit. That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7. And he says his leaf does not wither. Now you might recall when Jesus is going about and he's preaching, he does the parable of the sower. And he speaks about how the seeds that were thrown on the ground, they did not grow. Some of them, you know, they sprouted, but after time they withered away. Why is that? Because it didn't have the moisture, Jesus said. And it did not have the nutrients that it needed. Or it may be that the leaf withered away because the sun came and it scorched it. And it did not have root to be able to be nourished. And that's what we find, is that we have an opportunity, those who delight in the law of the Lord and on his law he meditates day and night, we have an opportunity to be able to stand strong and not waver and not have the spiritual leaves, so to speak, to wither away. And all that he does, Jesus says, or the Holy Spirit here says, he prospers, spiritually speaking. But notice the contrast now, verse 4. He says, the wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Now, if we're talking about chaff, you might consider the gospel accounts where Jesus speaks about the chaff and the wind and the winnowing fan. And the chaff is that dry protective casings on grain, the outer covering. And what they would do is they would throw it up in the wind and the chaff would blow away. And it was useless. They didn't need that. They didn't want that. All they wanted was the grain.
And so he says that the person who is walking in the counsel of the godly, ungodly, the one who stands in the way of sinners and sits in the seat of scoffers, is like chaff that the wind drives away. They're useless. They're not fulfilling their purpose in life because of the fact that they are not walking with God. Our purpose in life is to walk with God. The things we talked about this morning about being filled with the knowledge of His will and bearing fruit for every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We also talked about the fact that that we need to grow up in Christ. Well, the person who's not doing that, he's like the chaff that the wind drives away. And therefore, verse 5, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. And so what we find is cursed is the man who does these things. You have blessed is the man who does no evil, and then cursed is the man who does evil. He takes no delight in the law of the Lord. He stands contrary or opposed to the one who is being described in verse 2. And what we find is he is like chaff that wind drives away. There's no purpose or use to him whatsoever. He is not like the tree that is planted, firm, established, cannot be moved. Instead, he just is blown away. But I like what he says in verse 5, therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment. It's interesting, you know, the gospel accounts and Paul in his letters talk about how we're going to stand in the judgment, that all are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to have to answer for the things that we have done. But the psalmist here says, therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. How is it that they're not going to stand? Well, let me submit to you that the wicked will be separated from the righteous. In fact, the scriptures teach us that on the day of judgment, when we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that what's going to happen is those who did not confess Him on earth, those who denied Him on earth, those who were practicing wickedness, what's going to happen, Paul tells us in Philippians, is they're going to drop to their knees. They're going to bow down to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They're going to confess His name. That's why it's so important that we confess His name now and not on the day of judgment. But they're going to confess His name, and then they're going to be separated. Look with me to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. And Jesus talks about this in the judgment scene in Matthew chapter 25. The separation of those individuals who were not righteous with the ones who were righteous. He says in verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Look with me to verse 46. And these, talking about the unrighteous, will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. You see, there's a separation coming. And there is a day coming that the wicked, they're not going to be able to stand. Why is that? It's because they have nothing to stand on. You see, it's the righteous that will remain standing before God. It's the righteous that are not going to have to shrink back in fear. That's what John the Apostle speaks about in his letter, as well as the writer of Hebrews, that we're going to be able to stand with confidence. We're going to be able to stand knowing that we are justified before God because we have been meditating on His law day and night. We have been delighting in His law. We appreciate everything that God has done for us, and we live our life accordingly. And so because we have been found justified in His sight, we're going to be remain standing with Him when the psalmist says everyone else is going to be cast into the lake of fire. And they're going to have to suffer eternally for the deeds that they have done. And so what you find as you turn back with me to Psalm 1, is you find here that he's talking about the man who is happy compared to the man who thinks he is happy.
You see, oftentimes we look at the happy man and we say, well, he's, you know, we look to the wicked man and we see how happy he is and how he's advancing in life, and everything is just seems so gravy for the evildoer and for the one who is contrary to God's law. But notice with me in Psalm 73 what God has to say about that in verse 16. You see, because David here is telling us who the true happy person is, how we can find true happiness. It's not those who are practicing wickedness. Because David thought that. He was like, why is all these good things happening? And then in Psalm 73, in verses 16 and 17, he remembers their end. And he says, but when I thought how to understand this, meaning how can I understand all these good things happening to those who are wicked? It seemed to me a wearisome task until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I discerned their end. And that's exactly what he says here in Psalm 1 in verse 5. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. You see, those who are walking in the counsel of the wicked, and those who stand in the way of sinners, and those who sit in the seat of scoffers, they're going to perish. They're going to be lost. And yet, the Bible teaches us that God wants none to perish. He wants all to come to repentance. But those who reject His godly counsel, those who do not take delight in His law, those who want to separate themselves from God, He's going to have to punish because of their sins. They're sending themselves to hell. And therefore, they're not going to be able to stand confident before God on the day of judgment. They were one of His children. In verse 6, he says, the Lord knows the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked. We cannot hide anything from Him. There is nothing we can hide from Him. Everything we do, even in secret, He knows about. We may be able to hide it from our brethren, from the police, from our spouse, from our children, whatever it may be. But we cannot hide it from God. He knows the way of the righteous. He knows our character. He knows our thoughts. He knows everything that we're going to do. And He knows the way of the wicked, he says. And there's a contrast here. The way of the righteous are the ones who are going to be delivered, when it's those who are the wicked who will perish. And I like what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Turn there with me, 2 Timothy chapter 2. You see, Paul talks about how God knows who belongs to Him. But those of us who claim to belong to Him, notice what we have an obligation to do. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 19, it says, but God's firm foundation stands bearing this seal. Let the Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. So if we don't want to perish in the end, if we don't want to be like those who are walking in the way of wickedness, who are going to perish, then let everyone who names the name of the Lord, that means if you're here this evening and you claim allegiance to God, and you claim to wear His name, or His, more specifically, His Son's name, as a Christian or a disciple of Christ, then what He says here is the Lord knows who are His, but you've got to depart from iniquity. Because we don't want to be standing in the seat of scoffers, those who blaspheme God. And we certainly don't want to be walking in the path of sinners, those who run to every kind of sin and fulfill every kind of pleasure that they want to. And they're not going to have true happiness. They're not going to find true happiness, because blessed is the man. The true happiness comes from following and serving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so if you're here this evening, I want you to think about how you can have true happiness in your life. It's not found in sin. Moses figured that out. We read about that in Hebrews chapter 11, where the writer of Hebrews talked about how Moses gave up these things. He didn't want to be going with Pharaoh and with Egypt because he looked forward to something else.
And he wanted to be righteous. He wanted to be right with God. And so he gave up the fleeting pleasures, the temporary passing pleasures of this world. Because he knew that there was no happiness in those things. But quite often what we do is because of the flesh and because of our senses and because of the here and now, we want to give in to these things that we think that is bringing us happiness, and it's not. It's false sense of security. It's a false sense of comfort and happiness, and we cannot find those things. But spiritually speaking, we can find happiness in the law of the Lord. And so if you're here, believe in God's law. Believe in Him, that He is the creator of all things and He exists. Believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, that He died on the cross for your sins. Repent of your sins. And you can do so by ceasing the action that's in your life. But not only that, changing your mind. Saying, I'm not going to do these things anymore. I'm going to make my mind up that I'm going to do God's will now. It's no longer I who lives. I'm going to live for the Lord because I want to go to heaven. I'm going to confess my faith that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'm going to believe in my heart the resurrected Lord. You see, that goes hand in hand. That's what Paul said in Romans chapter 10 about how we need to believe in our heart the resurrected Lord and make that confession with our mouth, and that we're going to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. If we'll do that this evening, then we will find true happiness. But if we choose to reject that this evening and we leave this building and we do not make it home, then the psalmist tells us that the way of the wicked will perish. And so you have to make a decision this evening. You have to make up your mind. Are you going to follow Jesus, or are you going to follow the counsel of the ungodly in this world? As together we stand and sing.